Are we ready?
I think so. Cue the music, maestro. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And maybe just a few words about November. It has been in the past our cloudiest month of the year. I can't say that that's going to hold true this year, and I can remember a few recent Novembers that were anything but cloudy. Today is going to be a wonderful day, and tomorrow sounds like it's going to be the same, and perhaps Thursday as well, so celebrate. November is here, and it's on us, and it's going to be pretty darn nice. One of the big events that takes place in November every year is the firearms deer hunting season in Minnesota, and that will bring a lot of people into the woods. And among the things that you will see are, of course, deer. And you may be in an area where you see a bear. And we've had a couple of reports of bears on trail cams and in people's yards over the past few days. So despite our conversation with Dave Garcellis a couple of weeks ago, the bears are still... there are some bears that are still active and moving around. And during deer season, oftentimes the bears, especially young males that are maybe picking a poor spot to sleep, get kicked out of their beds and end up roaming around a little bit. So you may see bears. But really, I think the most amazing thing about deer season is, of course, going into the woods and sitting quietly is always a good idea. But you will see any number of amazing things. You may see a fisher, you may see a mink, you may see an otter, you may see a raccoon, you may see ruffed grouse, you almost certainly will see ravens, and some of you will actually get to see gray jays. And those are very, very interesting birds. So pay attention out there. The fifth graders, when I talk to them, they always say, oh, the best part about deer hunting is getting a deer. But really, truly, after you've shot a deer or two, the best part about deer hunting is actually what happens while you're waiting for the deer to show up. So, pay attention out there. November is a time of transition. Rough-legged hawks will start moving into the area. Snow buntings will be coming down. Pine siskins. There are a lot of reports of evening grosbeaks coming into the area. Pine grosbeaks. The winter birds are going to come, and the summer birds are going to gradually slide out of the area. So we'll see fewer and fewer juncos, fewer and fewer American tree sparrows, fewer and fewer fox sparrows. There was a Lincoln sparrow on somebody had photographed and placed on season watch. So most of those birds are all going to head a little bit south of here. The red-tailed hawks, the very last of the red-tailed hawks will be moving through. You may still see northern harrier, sorry. And there may be one or two of those kind of heading south. My neighbor Marvin Beer points out that the northern harriers seem to disappear when the fields get snow covered in the fall, and they're back when the snow is melted off the fields in the spring. And that seems to be a fairly accurate representation. Some of my notes include a lot of the things we've already talked about. I'd like to say, first of all, that the lake I live on, Crooked, which is about 25 feet deep and about 70 acres of surface area, it was last Tuesday when I came home from when I got out in the woods and started looking around, I noticed that it was about three quarters frozen. maybe two-thirds, but most of the lake had ice on it. And it stayed that way until Friday, and then I think Saturday, maybe Sunday, I don't know if it moved any on Sunday, but it began to melt back a little bit. And yesterday when I was out there, it's about, oh, maybe a quarter covered in ice, mostly the shallow end. So no skating yet this year, although I will admit that I tried to go out on the ice and I got about 5 feet from shore before I crashed through and got wet to the knees. But that's just how it goes. You can't know unless you try. I was sitting comfortably in my chair the other day, and I'm reading this book called Vesper Flights by Helen MacDonald, which is a wonderful book. Anyway, I happened to glance up and I saw these birds in the top of a white spruce tree. And I could see that there was some gray and some red, and I thought maybe it was pine grosbeaks, but they never came down to the feeders. So I got my binoculars and I looked up there, and it was a flock of white-winged crossbills. And they are seed eaters. Their bills don't meet. They cross. You may want to look in your bird book. But what happens if you take your two index fingers and lay them side by side and then sort of pull them together, you see that they sort of expand, and these beaks of theirs are narrow and then get wider. So if they put that narrow end in the bract of a spruce cone and bite down, the beak automatically forces the bract open, and then they can just stick their tongue in there and lick out the seed. And there were 20 or 30 of these birds, and they spent about 15 minutes in the white spruce, and then they moved to another white spruce and then to another one. And they were just kind of sweeping the area. And I got a note from my good friend, Dallas Hudson, over in Akeley, and he had seen the same thing over there. So there is a very good chance, if you have white spruce in your neighborhood, keep an eye on them and keep your eye open. Just be aware. And if you see a lot of birds in a flock at the tops of these white spruce trees, chances are they're either going to be white-winged or red crossbills. And you can look at them really quickly and figure that out. The white-winged crossbill has a big white wing bar, and it's pretty easy to see with binoculars. So check out the crossbills. There may be some in your neighborhood even now. My good friend Sam Miltich and I were having a conversation the other day, and Sam mentioned that he had heard tundra swans, and I also had heard tundra swans this past week, and Dallas Hudson, again, had mentioned tundra swans. So the tundra swans were moving through the area. Typically, this is a little bit on the early side. Normally, it's sort of mid-November, and we may still see big flocks of them moving through in mid-November. They are cousins of the trumpeter swans that we have so many of, but they summer in the Arctic Circle. Some go as far as across the Bering Straits and into northern Russia, but they all come back down and they head toward the Chesapeake Bay, where they spend the winter, and they fly over Minnesota in the process. They seem to stay just ahead of freezing water. So as the lakes freeze up north, the tundra swans start moving south. And if you have a chance to see or hear them, typically what happens is you'll be out late at night or maybe just during the day sometime, and you'll hear this sort of whistling, barking, kind of a cross between a songbird and a goose. And it won't sound like trumpeter swans, and it won't sound like geese. It's the tundra swan. And for years and years and years, they were known as the whistling swans because of their peculiar call. So if you hear a kind of a peculiar call out there, you might want to look up and see if you can't spot a flock of these tundra swans moving through. I have an American tamarack. I have some tamaracks in my in my backyard, and they have sort of slid past peak of color. They were at their peak of color maybe a week ago, and now I have them as just, they're probably about 50% needles still on the trees, and they are still quite yellow, but they are moving toward their final act of dropping all of their needles. And those that are east of my house and in a swamp, they are smaller and more advanced in their phenology, and they are down to that ratty orange. They're just like the new growth, this year's new needles. Now, if you go and look at a tamarack, you'll see that there are clusters of needles, maybe 20 or 30 in a group, and those clusters are on older growth. The new growth that came out this year has single needles. So you'll see a needle coming out of a fascicle. It'll be a single needle. And those needles will hang on to the tree long after the clustered needles fall. And if you look at a tamarack today, you might see these orangey-looking needles that are just out at the ends of the branches. And those are the new growth needles. And eventually they will fall away. But they will persist much longer than the regular needles. There are lots of trumpeter swans in the area. Of course, the trumpeter swans are those big white birds that frequent lakes and rivers in the area. They were introduced in 1983 with a couple of dozen eggs brought back from Alaska. And Carol Henderson and his crew at the non-game wildlife division of the DNR brought them back and introduced them. And last year, the estimate of population of trumpeter swans in Minnesota topped 15,000. So the return of the trumpeter swan has been just simply amazing in it's 37 years. They've been doing it as long as I've been doing the phenology show. And they have had great success, unlike the phenology show. But the trumpeter swans are back, and they were never trained to migrate, so they stay wherever there's open water. And there'll be a flock of them on the Mississippi here in Grand Rapids. There'll be a flock up in Brainerd, or down in Brainerd by the Gull River Dam, and there'll be a flock over in the Bemidji area around the dam on the Mississippi there. Wherever there's open water, there will be some trumpeter swans. And the vast majority, of course, move south where there's more open water. But in this area, if you have open water through the winter, you will have trumpeter swans undoubtedly will be frequenting that open water. I was talking to my good friend Courtney Kearns the other day, and Courtney said that she had just seen a yellow-rumped warbler, probably the last one. I still have a fox sparrow or two and an American tree sparrow or two that are eating the millet at my house. Lots of dark-eyed juncos, lots of juncos in my yard still. I'm using this mix of millet, peanuts, and cracked corn, and it's mostly millet, which the juncos like and the sparrows like. But the peanuts and the cracked corn, I wasn't sure about. I figured the squirrels would eat the corn and the peanuts if they found them. And it turned out that my dog found the peanuts, and she liked them just fine. So she'd go wandering around the yard picking up the peanuts. But the other day, I was sitting in my comfortable chair again and with my binoculars close at hand. And I happened to glance out at a blue jay in the yard, and I thought, he's picking up something. Is he picking up the corn or the peanuts? So I started watching this blue jay, and he was wandering around the yard and picking up the peanuts. And he picked up about 17 of them, which made his throat pouch quite full. And he had a line of peanuts in his bill. So there were four or five that I could see in his bill as well before he flew off. And I'm sure he was thinking, boy, I've hit the mother load. This is very good. My friend Sam Miltich talked about seeing moose tracks up near the Togo area. And he had a picture of his boot next to the moose track. And I sent back a note to him saying, I didn't know you had such small feet. The truth is, Sam wears a size 13 boot, and that moose track was at least half of his foot length, so it was a good-sized moose. He also mentioned that the white-tailed deer were definitely in their rut up in that country, and that he had seen snowshoe hares, and their feet were white, but their bodies were still brown. And snow buntings. There are snow buntings in the area, and I've had a number of people report that to me as well. When you see snow buntings, they're generally in a flock, and generally the overall appearance as they fly is white. They have white patches on their wings, and their bodies are fairly white, though they're kind of marked this time of year with more brown than you might expect. But if you see a flock of birds that looks largely white, chances are you're looking at snow buntings, and there are a number of them in the area. My good friend Dave Lorenz sent me an email saying he had a female Brewer's blackbird in his yard, and that is not entirely uncommon because I have other reports of Brewer's blackbirds from the late fall. So if you have an unusual blackbird at your feeder, you might want to check the Brewer's blackbird to see if it matches what you have. And finally, a good friend, Larry Johnson, and I know there are a lot of Larry Johnsons out there. This Larry Johnson is a pretty good brewer of beer, and so you may know him. But anyway, he has some land over in the Walker area, and on one of his trail cams, he came up with a lovely picture of a black bear out foraging near his land in the Walker area. So still a few bears moving around. We talked about that. That's our phenology show for this week. A lot of you are going to be out deer hunting this next weekend. And if you come across something worth noting, please send it along. I'd like to hear about it.
It is deer hunting opener this weekend, and just a not to rain on your parade, but take precaution. We are still in the midst of a pandemic. So if your normal routine is to gather with tons of people at your hunting shack, wear a mask. Be careful out there. We don't want you to get COVID, and we don't want you to spread it. And so that's our reminder this morning.
I would suspect that a hunting camp would be a very good place for the spread of COVID.